Okay, this hour we'll take your phone calls with Gerald Celente on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. We'll get to your calls here in just a moment. Gerald, tell me one thing, too. The social networking, what's your overall take on that?
Well, you know, it's definitely a phenomenon, and it's changed the way a lot of things are happening, particularly in the media. You know, our CEO of Trends Journal, his name is Derek Osinenko, and he was the editor-in-chief of Gannett News Service. So this is a guy that's been there and for many years, over 30, in the newspaper industry. What's happening now is they're closing copy desks all over the country in newspapers, and they're using more and more social networking. And they're degrading the quality of the newspaper, of course, because what they're doing is they're doing things that are popular because the reporters are graded almost on how many tweets they have, what their following is. And so what I'm saying is they're going more and more into that area, so they're building it. And it's hurting the quality of the newspapers. So that's where I see it happening, and it has its negatives and positives, but it's only going to continue to grow as we see it.
The New World Order folks, those people that want to put everything under one umbrella, how active are they, and how successful could they be?
That's one of our big trends, by the way, takeover. And the takeover is underway. And it's with this Trans-Pacific Partnership, and the one in for Europe, the Transatlantic, you know, Trade Investment Agreement or whatever it is. You know, they make up these names. And what they are, they're nothing to do with trade, very little to do with trade. What it does is gives multinationals the right over sovereign laws. It gives the multinationals rights over labor laws, environmental laws, even freedom of speech laws. And Obama's pushing this through on fast track, which means that they'll only vote on it yes or no. And we, the people in this land of freedom and opportunity, are not allowed to read it. No one is. Only the people that are putting it together, and those are the major corporations. And this is an atrocity. And again, it's not a trade pact. All the trade deals are already made. We're already living and suffering from them. So what this is, it's more of the New World Order is right in front of our eyes, but we're not allowed to read it. It's in detail. And by the way, they're fighting this tooth and nail over in Europe.
Yes, they are.
But they're not fighting it here. Most people here don't even know that it exists. It's a secretive, pro-corporate trade deal, and it's going to endanger our health. It's going to hurt labor. It's going to hurt the environment. And again, in the European one is the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership. I mean, come on with these names, you know. And so, and of course, TARP, rather the Trans-Pacific Partnership, that one, and both of these big deals, they include, when you bring them together, it's about 80% of the world in terms of market. Russia and China are excluded from them.
Let's go to the phones. We go to William in Middleton, Wisconsin. Welcome to the show. William, you're on the air with us. Go ahead.
Yes, you have some great guests, George.
Yes, we do.
Amazing. I go to sleep early and I wake up early. So anyway, my question to Gerald is this. The Supreme Court has, and I know you're Catholic, but I'm not anti-Catholic, but has 6 Catholics, 3 Jews. I'm not anti-Jewish. How did these men get elected, more or less? Does the Catholic Church now and the Koch brothers, because there are 6 Catholics on the Supreme Court, and the Koch brothers, along with Goldman Sachs, control, run our lives, control America?
Well, you know, as I look at the Supreme Court, it's funny you mention that. To me, the Supreme Court, it's a court of clowns, nothing supreme about them. And them being Catholic or Jewish, you know, Greenberg, Iceberg, what's the difference? You know, they're just race, creed, color, gender. It doesn't make any difference to me. It's about the morality of the people. And to me, the Supreme Court is a joke. You know, when I hear Scalia talk and the statements that he makes, this whole thing with torture, you know, I'm tired of presidents ending their speeches with, "And God bless America." What God do you know that would be in favor of rectal feeding? You know.
So, yeah, exactly.
So it has nothing to do. It's a joke. The whole Supreme Court. You know, I want a little breaking news here, George.
Sure.
Brent crude just went under $50.
Yep. What is it, like 47?
Yeah, that's West Texas is 47.15. Brent was 49.98. And remember, in June, Brent was trading at 115.
How low will it get at the pumps?
You know, it's going to continue to get low, but when you're looking at the numbers and what this means, it according to the government numbers, it's only going to help people at a tune of about $750 a family at the prices it is now. And $750 over 12 months isn't a lot of dough. The implications of this are enormous. Here are some of them. Some 20%, we were talking about the stock markets earlier and how I mentioned to you that mergers and acquisitions, stock buybacks, that's what's driving this. 20% of the junk bonds are estimated to be in the energy field. 20%.
Jeez.
And they're collapsing in front of us. So if you're holding these bonds, boy, you're in bad shape. Then you look at what's going on worldwide. Again, this isn't only hurting Russia. It's not only hurting Venezuela. It's hurting every oil exporting country, but not only them, all of the other commodity-rich countries, whether it's Chile, whether it's Angola, any of these countries that are whether it's Australia, and you're looking at all the declines of their currencies. So this implications, as I said, you know, when I predicted the 1987 stock market crash, one of the reasons was the decline of oil prices in 86 and the blowback it would have. Because people think that, oh, wow, you know, now it's going to enrich the consumer. You know, we were talking about, you know, price wars. When you go to the supermarket, you know, your prices of vegetables and beef and chicken, they're going through the roof. They're not going down. It's costing us all more to live. Taxes keep going up. And Obamacare, you don't care about your money because they care to take it from you one after another. So the oil prices are only going to have a moderate effect on boosting consumer spending. The implications are great, much greater. It's a deflation of prices. It's a depression.
Will they move cars, products?
Yeah, somewhat. But, you know, that's, by the way, that's a, it's ironic that this is happening at this time.
Yeah, it is. It shouldn't.
It shouldn't, but also because of other trends that we're looking at that play into it at a time that it's weakening. One of our big trends that we have in the Trends Journal, it's called dominant energy. This isn't wind, solar, geothermal, or biofuel. There are some big breakthroughs starting to happen. And I know we've all heard this before, but think about it. From Julius Caesar to Grover Cleveland, the world leaders went to their inaugurations and coronations in horse and buggy. And then the automobile was the alternative when it first came out. The same thing, I mean, I don't know if you're old enough to remember. I remember ice boxes and the Iceman.
Oh, yeah.
I still got a glimpse of that at the end.
My grandmother had one of those.
Yep. And then, of course, there was the Frigidaire, and that was the alternative.
Yeah.
And that's what we're looking at now. We're looking at fossil fuels going in that direction at a time when they're under all this pressure. Look what's going on with Toyota. And they moved to hydrogen.
Yeah.
This is real. By the way, our science editor's name is Ben Davis. He's one of the top guys in the country. And he's been writing about this for years. And you're looking, there's a company that people out there should look at. You know, and again, you know me, we're not financed. We don't sell anything. We're not financiers. We put out forecasts. There's a company that they should consider looking at. It's in New Jersey called Blacklight Power. and they have a thing called a sun cell. And they've been 20 years in the making of this thing, and it's fueled by water. And it brings clean energy in larger amounts than it consumes. And that's what these energies are about. They're putting out more than they take than it takes to generate it. We are on the cusp of a real energy revolution. Now think of the implications. You think anybody will care about protecting our pals over there, those Saudis? Oh, by the way, they had a great year over there. You talk about ISIS and their beheadings. The Saudis knocked off 87 beheadings last year.
Yeah.
They had a good year. You think we would have invaded Iraq or Libya if their major export was broccoli?
Let's go to Bill in Driggs, Idaho. Bill, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi, what a great opportunity. The reason I called is over the last 8 years, I worked on an American patent for a product that I invented. I live in Idaho, and it's easy to, after 9/11, I was kind of thrown back upon myself. I had to figure out a way to make a living. And so I invented a product. It's an aftermarket pickup truck product. So I approached, it's a metal aluminum product, and I approached a really large American fabricator in Denver and Chicago and Atlanta. I called this guy up, talked to their fabricator. He says, this is your golden egg. You know, you can sell this to Ford right now for $6 million. Well, I told him in my mind's eye, I saw it in Home Depot, and he says, you know, Home Depot's first order is 300,000 units. And I said, really?
Jeez.
Well, anyway, a week later, he gets transferred to take apart a factory somewhere, and nobody at that company will talk to me for 4 months. So I went around him to Atlanta, their Atlanta company. First guy that gets on the phone says, this is your golden egg. He goes through the whole same thing. He says, but we manufacture this in China. Okay, and I was worried about it getting taken if they take it to China, but I had a contract with them, non-disclosures, and they had factories in China and everything. He calls me back the next day and he goes, you know, we don't want to manufacture this in China because of the shipping. We can manufacture this in an American prison, and then you can say it's made in the USA.
Huh.
Now the 89-year-old guy who's sitting next to me at the time, listening to the conversation, goes, isn't that unfair competition to the American worker?
Sure is.
I mean, this is slave labor, okay? And I've got a product, and I know it's an amazing product. I always go with it in my mind's eye. And I saw this in my mind's eye as being sold in Home Depot. It's going to be like the Speed Square. Every construction guy that owns a pickup truck is going to want to buy this product. And I am literally, I've literally been pushed so far you can't believe. So I just want to, I mean, oh, and the other thing, when I was listening to your program the other day, it was really impressed upon me. Article 10, Section 6 of the Constitution talks about only gold and silver shall be used as legal tender in payment of debt, okay? Sooner or later, it's going to come around to, if people don't understand that, and if they don't buy gold and silver, okay, and use it, which you promote, okay,
yep,
it's very bad, okay? There are hay farmers here in Idaho. All their hay is going to China right now. I know one, okay? I had a dream that the end of my road down here where there was a Chinese army vehicle sitting. Honest to God.
That's not a dream.
I live out in the mountains. I've done everything. I'm a mountain man, okay?
You might be intuitive.
Okay? So what has to happen is, guys like myself, by the way, I approach everybody with my product, okay? People that have money. And nobody's willing to part with their money to help an American to produce a product.
Go on to go on to Kickstarter. I bet you could raise your money that way.
I was told to go there, and I will go there. Thank you very much. I really appreciate your program.
Well, you're very, very welcome. And whatever happened to the days of venture capital, Gerald?
Well, again, that's going back to this takeover. Everything's become a multinational. And, you know, there were times when we were young guys that there were things like, you know, we had drug stores, and now all we have are, you know, the majors. And we used to have stationary stores, and now we only have the majors. He mentioned Home Depot. And we used to have hardware stores, you know. So it's been a takeover because of all the deregulation. And again, going back to the Gilded Age, it ties in. Theodore Roosevelt was the one that put in place a lot of the legislation that protected we the little people in terms of the Robinson-Patman Act, the Sherman Antitrust Act, the Clayton Antitrust Act. And so venture capital right now is just for to make money. And we were going back to you asked me about, you know, social media, et cetera, and you see a consolidation in the newspapers where they're just closing, they're being bought out by investment capital.
Yeah. Gerald, what's a hedged fund? What do they invest in? Are they more speculative?
They're all speculative. All of them are. That's all they do. And so it's nothing that's promoting business. And what he said about the making it in the product in
the prisons.
Prisons, yeah. I mean, you know, you want to talk about slave landing.
Oh, my God. What do they get, 50 cents an hour or something like that?
If that, you know.
Yeah.
But it's got, everything's gone to the bottom line. And that's what's killed America. It used to be a land of quality. Look, where I am over here, you know, I have these beautiful old buildings, and you look at the construction and the care. And you're from St. Louis, the same thing. Yeah. And look what they put up now, big box stores.
Let's go to Patrick in a great city, Opportunity, Washington. Hey, Patrick, go ahead.
Hey, Gerald.
Hello, Patrick.
My question to you is, we're getting killed with free trade, free immigration. How are a million jobs going to come back to American manufacturing if we have to compete with wages of Vietnam and China?
Well, it's probably not going to.
It's not going to, not unless they're changed. Again, you know, I've been writing about this for years with the immigration, and again, some of my books. I mean, it's not Monday morning quarterbacking. And we showed how the immigration was being, who was behind the big pushes. And you go back into the 80s, the late 80s, when it really started becoming an issue, and it was the National Association of Manufacturers. Well, I guess they're not manufacturing much anymore, but they're driving down wages.
They'd have to change the name of their organization, huh?
Right. And then you went back, then you went into the 90s when I was writing, Trends 2000, and it was the H-1B visas coming out of Silicon Valley to bring in cheaper labor. So that's all of this has done. It's brought in cheap labor. We have 320 million people in this country. We can't take care of our own. I got an idea. Let's bring in some more. Oh, by the way, again, going back and all things connected, I was talking before about the populist movements. There are huge anti-immigration movements going on throughout Europe. They're flooding in. And the reason they're flooding in, going back to Occupy Peace. Hey, how about let's bomb Syria. Let's 48,000 people killed last year in Iraq. That's on top of the hundreds of thousands already. People are leaving their countries in droves. The places are being destroyed.
Yep.
Africa, you had last year over 200,000 immigrants onto the shores of Italy. So you're seeing huge anti-immigration backlashes. And again, tying back into, you have a global slowdown.
Somebody wants these countries, Gerald, as a bargain basement price, believe me. We're going to come back in a moment with Gerald Celente. We're going to take final phone calls here. Don't forget, if you want to, just like us on Facebook, coming up to another milestone of people that do that. So go ahead, if you haven't, at coasttocoastam.com. Hey, for you Coast Insiders, on January 20th, Gerald Celente will be chatting with you. So that'll be fun. You're going to get some great response from Gerald. If you still want to participate in that and you're not an insider, well, you've got lots of time to sign up by going to coasttocoastam.com. Welcome back. Gerald Celente with us. Your final phone calls as well. Gerald, so as you write up the trends research work, what do you see 2016?
Well, 2016 is going to be the big year because that's the election year. And as I said, we're looking at a real potential for a third-party candidate, and it could be the real game changer. You know, George, I really wasn't clear, and I want to just clear it up a little bit on the difference between a hedge fund and a venture capitalist.
Sure.
hedge funds are basically gamblers in the sense that, well, you got to put a lot of dough into it to get into it. But they want to make money really quick, and they invest in virtually anything, stocks, bonds, commodities, currencies. Where a hedge fund, a venture capital, they buy up companies. They purchase private companies. excuse me. And some of them distress, some of them not, with the option and the focus to build them and to you know, make them stronger. And then often they sell them, you know, to bring the price up. So a hedge fund is just basically a gambling operation with a lot of big money into it and getting short-term profits, where private venture capital firms, you know, they're actually building something,
yeah,
where the other guys are doing nothing.
Okay, back to the calls we go. Let's go to Carl driving in Nebraska, first-time caller. Carl, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Howdy, George.
Hi, Carl.
Glad to get to talk to you guys. Hey, I got a couple, two or three questions real fast. Previous segment, Gerald was talking about the Kennedy assassinations. I don't know if it's just John, but Bobby too. And he made the comment that people are forgetting about it in America nowadays. But out here in the Midwest, and I just passed the 100th meridian, so dead center USA. I don't know anyone that has forgotten of that situation. Question two. We invaded Afghanistan and Iraq. We knew we were going to become the number one oil producer. And my daughter represents a Norwegian oil company and natural gas too. And, you know, with the decline in oil prices, it's got them all just screaming and scrambling. But what does he think about the future of that? Number three, what does he think about, are you optimistic, Gerald, about the USA, or are you kind of negative about, you know, the future of our country? And I'll leave it at that right now.
Okay. On number one, on the Kennedy, what I was referring to is the media. If you went, and I do this religiously every year. On November 22nd, you go and you look, and you won't find any coverage in most of the newspapers, and they won't mention it on most of the broadcasts. That's
Gerald,
what I mean.
Gerald, even George said, I'm very close to George's age, and I remember they let school out, and I ran home, and my father worked nights. So I woke him up and said, they killed the president. George has his story.
Yeah, I'm just saying what's going on now.
The world.
They're not covering in the news. And on your second question about oil.
Thank
you. On your second question about oil, as I said, I think this is the beginning of a long decline for oil. And you're going to start seeing a lot of alternatives move into the market. And it's real. I mean, you Google it up. Look what Toyota is doing. They're betting their future on hydrogen. And there are a lot of new breakthroughs coming in, and we write about it in detail. By the way, we just had a conference over here in December. If you go to our website, trendsjournal.com, and we have 5.5-hour conference on the top trends. So we go into these things in real detail of where they're going with oil. And am I negative on America? No way. I love America. You know, this is my country. And I'm doing everything I can to not only live the American dream, but to keep it alive. I could not be me if I was born anywhere else. So I'm positive on the aspects of the new opportunities because of the great vacuum. As I mentioned, 74% of the people stayed home in the midterm election. They're disgusted. You look at every poll. So the vacuum is so large it could be filled with anything. And I believe now is the time to fill it.
Well, probably so. Kurt, truck driving in Iowa, you're up with us. Go ahead, Kurt.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hi there.
Hello, gentlemen. I'm 29.
I'm, you know, on that golden age baby, I guess you want to call them.
The millennium.
Yes. And, well, I do live at home with my parents. I mean, I'm a truck driver. I've made great money. You know, I'm one of those guys that's paid cash for everything. I don't think you can afford it. You don't go out and get a loan for it. You wait, save, and you buy it. You make cash. And because of that, you know, you get penalized for it if you you try to get a home loan. Like, now I'm just pretty much staying in my truck. I'm just going to save cash and buy a house. So, right out. But, you know, I mean, I've got friends that, you know, are $80,000 plus in college debt and $10,000 in credit cards that work a job for 3 months and they go get a $300,000 home loan.
Huh.
Well, you know, one of the movies I was in was called College Conspiracy a number of years ago. I mean, this whole thing is a big ripoff. And, you know, kids, people getting out of, I mean, I can't imagine getting out of debt, getting out of college and having, you know, like $70,000-$80,000 debt, and you can't get out of the debt. You become an indentured servant. So, you know, and what are you learning? You know, a lot of people are getting degrees in worthlessness. You know, I'm all in favor of, you know, going to college and continuing to learn and getting a great education. But, you know, there are other ways as well if you're not equipped to do it or get a degree that's going to provide anything that's going to make it happen. So, you know, I'm in the same camp. I mean, I didn't buy a house, you know, until I was in my my mid-30s. And I had great jobs. You know, I just wasn't ready to do it and wasn't ready to put down the money. And it wasn't a big, you know, wasn't a big thing for me to do. So I understand what you're saying fully well.
We have Jim in Fargo, North Dakota. It's your turn, Jim. Welcome to the show. You with us, Jimmy?
Yes. How you doing?
Go ahead. Good.
My question is for Gerald. Has he spoken to the future of the $2.1 quadrillion of derivatives that are floating around?
Oh, yeah. Look, this whole thing, you know, there's nothing holding it up. The only thing that's holding it up, it goes back to our trends. You know, his bankism, all of his cheap money being floated into the market. Excuse me. As a matter of fact, it's worldwide, as I said. China just announced yesterday they're dumping another trillion into their economy to pump it up. What's going on in Europe, you have negative interest rates. Under Obama, we just saw our national debt, the time between golf games and playing president, went up 70%. 70% from 10 trillion to over 18 trillion. The derivatives, all of this, it's all one big Ponzi scheme, and it's a global one. And that's what people should really understand. So as we're looking, for example, what's going on in Japan, Abenomics, they have the equivalent of the money that they're pumping in would be the equivalent in GDP ratios of the United States pumping in $3 trillion a year to boost the economy. So the derivatives, the whole thing, it's one big Ponzi scheme.
Gerald, what's it really going to take to fix this?
It's going to take a rebuilding of America, and I keep saying it, a self-sustaining economy. Put back in place what was there before. It worked. It worked. It worked. The tariffs worked. Don't call it, to me, don't call it free trade. Call it dealing with a slave labor communist country, getting your stuff manufactured there, bringing it back and marking up the prices. To me, you're not an American. You want to do it, go over there and do it and keep your product over there. Put the laws back in place. Robertson Patman, Sherman Antitrust Act. George, they didn't need Dodd-Frank. All they had to do was bring back Glass-Steagall. And what did Dodd-Frank do? It did nothing. You know the new law that they passed under the Obama's new legislation? The fellow was talking about derivatives?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now we have to pay for it by law. They put that into the new bill.
What's going to happen with mortgages this year?
They're going to stay down. They can't raise interest rates. But even at these low rates, the housing market is only tepid. Again, a 29-year-old guy, here's some facts. Households under 30 years old lost 48% of their total wealth since 2007. Here's a fact. First-time home buyers, 25 to 35, it used to be 40% that bought new homes. It's now down to 26%. So even at these low mortgage rates, you're going to have tepid demand because it goes back. It's all tied together. You're getting out, you're $80,000 in debt, $50,000 in debt, $100,000 in debt. Oh, they're not buying automobiles either, the millennials. They're moving more. And this is another big trend, by the way. You're going to see more and more growth of inner cities and even exurban cities because people want to walk to where they have to go to. The aging baby boom population, you know, it's like going down to Florida and watching people drive down there. Oh, my God. You know, where's the mass transportation? So places that have mass transportation where you have a lot of local and you can and a lot of apartments are going. That's, by the way, that's the big – that was the big moneymaker in the real estate sector in 2014.
Apartments?
Apartment, multifamily dwellings.
Yeah. And that's going to continue.
It is because – unless we reverse the trend, rebuild America, peace and prosperity. That's what I want to see. We have the wherewithal to do it. We're the richest country in the world by a long shot. You know, China's, you know, domestic GDP, you know, per person, it like ranks 89th. You know, we are still the world leader, but we're squandering it with all of these wars, all of this money being wasted. And who are these people to watch us? Who made this one up? That they have to watch everything that we're doing. Who are they? How about us watching them? Oh, by the way, you know what I'd like to see on the ballot? I want to see every senator and congressman have a drug test. I want to see what these people are whacked out on.
Let's go to Polly, Riverside, California. Polly, go ahead.
Thank you, and Happy New Year to all.
You too.
I wondered if Mr. Salente ever got his money back that he lost from the recession. I remember him talking about that.
Yeah, he did lose a lot.
From MF Global.
Okay. And yeah. Also, a guest you had on a while back, Jonathan Kahn, was talking about...
the Year of the Shemitah.
Moon. Yeah, and the Year of the Shemitah, plus also the Blood Moons, all culminating this coming September. And that the Blood Moons are like, he says, like the signal in the sky of... like from God, signaling warning. And him and the one that does the blood moons are kind of expecting an epic judgment on America. But, you know, them being, well, we being Christians on the side, you know, we see it as, you know, God's going to bring forth, you know, the Christians and help people and, you know, kind of there's going to be a great harvest. So there is a positive side. There is going to be a great oppression too, you know, when the police state and all that has to take effect. So, you know, people shouldn't worry about it. It's all right there in the Bible. It's all been prophesied. So I just hope that they see the positive side that can come out of this. So thank you. And God bless you all. Bye-bye.
Sure. Well, if you believe in prophecy, this could be the year, Gerald.
It could be. As far as MF Global, I got most of my money back. I got about, I probably lost about, 6% of the investment.
That's not bad, I guess.
Yeah, but it should have never happened.
It could have been worse, and it should have never happened.
No, they went into segregated funds and stole the money. And another Goldman Sachs guy, by the way, former CEO. What's his name over there? Just skipped my mind. That was the head of MF Global. He was the governor of New Jersey. John Corzine. That was it. John the Slime Corzine.
Where is he now?
Well, probably working for raising money for the Democratic Party or something. You know, who knows?
Yeah.
And again, you know, you have not seen one head roll from, you know what they do? They do misdeeds. They misspeak. They mislead. But that's the language they come up with. Not one head rolls when you're a member of the Wall Street gang. And make sure you pay your taxes. obey the law, do everything right, because you'll be punished, but not the big guys.
Let's go to Lance in Alberta, Canada. We'll squeeze you in real fast. Lance, go ahead.
Fantastic. Good evening, gentlemen. Gerald, I wonder if you know anything about these new binary stocks that have been floating around and being people trying to be persuaded into buying them?
No, I don't.
What are they?
Oh, well, I seen a quick clip on the internet, and this guy says you invest $250 and he'll invest the money for you, and it's just a quick turnover of cash, and it sounds pretty convincing. I don't have the exact website, but type in binary stocks, and it's a pretty convincing statement this guy makes.
Well, convincing, confidence, con man. Yeah, I think the con is in each of the words. You know, you have to be careful with this.
A lot of cons out there.
Yeah, there's no such thing as a quick hit, you know. I mean, everything you have to do, you really have to work for, study at, and practice at to really get good at, you know. Or else it's just a gamble, as I see it.
Gerald, trendsresearch.com, of course, is the website. Is your book, Trends 2000, is that still available?
No, actually, it's out of print. We actually should reprint it. But, of course, there's a Trends Journal. You know, it's 50 pages. And it's
well, that's
color.
Like a book by itself.
Yeah, it's full color, highest quality. And we put out a Trends Monthly, too, which is digital. And we do Trends in the News every day as part of the subscription. Every Monday through Friday, we do the real news. And also, we have conferences here. And as I said, all of the top trends for 2015 are available if they go to our website, trendsresearch.com, and go to the conference. They could get the purchase the whole 5.5-hour conference.
Super.
Of the top trends.
Gerald, get some sleep. I know you're on the East Coast.
Thanks a lot, George.
Okay.
Happy New Year.
You too, my friend. Gerald Celente. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, George Knapp, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.